I do not believe this is one of our most popular feasts, the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple. So I might take this occasion to say something about all four Gospels and come back to Luke's, from which we just read. Scholarship up to this day indicates that easily Mark was the first gospel, probably written around the year 60, which would be about 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus. The next two gospels, Matthew and Luke, were written around the year 70 to 75, and they both had Mark available. And because of that, we call those three Gospels synoptic Gospels, because it's the same view of the eyes that Mark has as well as Luke and Matthew. But Luke and Matthew are very different than Mark. Mark might be what you would say, give me the facts. And Mark would say, here are the facts. I'm writing this so you know that Jesus is the Son of God, and here's what he said and did. Now, with Matthew and Luke, they have a wider perspective. Matthew takes the facts that we have in Mark's gospel, but he shows how they are the fulfillment of the history of the Jewish people. Matthew roots Jesus back into the life of Moses and the Exodus, and tells us the story from that perspective. Matthew's gospel, for example, Jesus gives us the Sermon on the Mount, just as Moses gave the commandments from the Mount. And then when we get to Luke, Luke is more concerned about Jesus' openness to all peoples, where Matthew has more quotations from the Hebrew scriptures than all three other gospels put together. Luke wants us to know that Jesus has come for the Gentile people as well. And so when Luke writes his gospel, he shows how Jesus was very open to pagan people, to foreign people, to people who were not Hebrew people. That's very important in Luke's gospel, because Luke also is the author of the Acts of the Apostles, where the apostles go out and preach to all peoples. Then we come to John. Now, John probably was written around the year 100. And by that time, there were a lot of issues theologically about who is Jesus. What does this mean that he's the Son of God? And there's a lot of different ideas floating around. And about the year 100, John wants to put these to rest. So John starts his gospel saying, look, this is who Jesus is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is the divine Son of God. And then throughout John's gospel, whenever there's any situation where you might question this, John reminds us that, no, Jesus knew all things, and Jesus has power to do all things because Jesus is divine. Now, I'm going to end just by going back to Luke's gospel. Luke is the only one that really pays a lot of attention to women. That might make you happy if you're a woman. But even this little gospel we just heard today, the presentation, after Simeon gets his word in about this child, then Anna gets her word in about this child. And you might remember that when it comes to the Gospel of Luke, that not only that Luke is the gospel where Elizabeth and her son John the Baptist are so important. Luke is the gospel where Elizabeth has a lot to do and say about what's happening. And not only that, it's Luke's gospel where Mary gets to talk a lot, where she doesn't in the other gospels. So Luke is well known for giving women a particularly important place in the gospel. Now, I know that women aren't always as excited about Super Bowl Sunday as men are, but that's all right, because Jesus wouldn't have worried about that.